So after the Tet Offensive, a new instruction came to you that from now on, there would be a copy of everything you sent would be sent to the Chinese. And you were afraid of being detected. And the Chinese wanted to see it. Why would the Chinese insist?
I don't know. They have to, because Chinese control everything in North Vietnam.
Okay.
That's why I advise you to read the book. I gave you the
one you gave me the first day I got here?
That's right.
Yes.
Part of it only. But the reason why they fostered it to carry the land reform, etc., and wipe out all the who were recruited by the communists, European communists, like the Soviet Union or French, etc., those were promoted Vietnamese. They learned communism from the French people.
Okay.
That's why they were wiped out, particularly those who were, they call it the Eye of Moscow.
So you decided that you would no longer, what did you change in your reporting? So what did you do? What did you stop doing? You stopped sending documents or you stopped?
Any important document I stopped doing.
So you just kept?
Just the report, that's all.
Okay.
Just the report.
So that meant you stopped filming?
Sometimes they need this document to check whether my report was correct or not. If you don't trust me, forget about it. I won't do it, that's all. But I cannot send you a copy because I was not allowed to take it out.
Right.
For security reasons. But I read it. That's all. If you don't believe me, forget about that.
And in my book I say that you never had to steal a document. Every document was always given to you by somebody, right? In my book I write that you never had to steal a document. Every document was given to you. Right.
Because sometimes they asked me to have them to interpret them.
Sure.
Because I know I started a particular North Vietnamese, they don't know the mentality of the Southerner. And the Chinese in the South too. And the Chinese in the South, they were organized by two organizations, by the Red Chinese. One group, they call it United Chinese Organization, Hualien. The other one is Hua Vang, I mean, proselytization of the Chinese in South Vietnam. So those two work together, I mean, you persuade the Chinese to give support to the revolution, at the same time to have the Vietnamese revolution.
And after the Paris Accords, you've told me this many times, China definitely wanted to maintain a neutral South to prevent Soviet domination of Southeast Asia.
That's right.
And if
that's
President
why I asked you to read that book.
Right, I have, right. And that's why if President Tu had not been so stupid, and if he had just agreed to, so you have an election, you follow the accord, things, in your opinion, would have been okay.
At the dinner, to celebrate the ending of the Geneva Agreement, Chu Enlai, Chinese Prime Minister, invited all the leaders of the three countries of Indochina because to discuss about the war in Indochina. It's the very first Indochina war,
yes.
The first one, to the dinner. So at his table, was the representative of North Vietnam, Pham Van Dong. The Sihanouk representative, I forgot that. The Laotian representative, Prime Minister. All them Prime Minister. And then, young brother of Ngô Đình Diệm, Ngô Đình Luyện.
Really?
Yeah.
Okay.
To that dinner, at the honorable table, by the other table, or the other. And he said, at the end, he asked Ngô Đình Nguyên, why don't you send your representative to China? Ngô Đình Nguyên was surprised that, where should I send? Speaking. Because the Chinese position is the balkanization of Indochina into five countries.
The balkanization of Indochina into five countries, North and South Vietnam.
With the American, with Kissinger, etc. That's why Kissinger told him, don't be afraid of the North Vietnamese. are going to balkanize the whole Indochina. So he was so mad at Kissinger, he went to report it. But he agreed to send the delegation to sign the agreement. He was forced, said he was forced by the Americans. And even at the last minute, they're trying to fool him again. Kissinger told him that the Americans are going to balkanize Indochina.
Now, when the agreement was signed, did the people in Hanoi, the government, in your opinion, did they think that, were they concerned about the balance of forces when the agreement was signed in 1973? That is, they thought it was going to be a much longer period than...
Much longer.
Yeah, much longer.
They didn't talk about 10 years.
Yeah,
and
yeah.
The others, so, but they found out that the South refused to negotiate as a coalition government.
Right.
Good opportunity to make people mad.
And that was a big mistake that you told me.
The other mistake is this. They don't trust themselves. They have no self-confidence. They were selling their house to get money, either Chinese, not Vietnamese, dong, but dollar or French franc.
And by this time, Arvin had no confidence either, right?
Yeah.
And you believe that most of the generals and most of the command, it was corrupt, right? In the South, right? Very corrupt.
Very corrupt.
Right. And so there really was no leadership, no morale, nothing. Even though
except the young one, yes.
But they had the
major, yes.
But you always tell me they had the fifth largest army in the world or something. Arvin.
Fourth
largest army in the world.
Yeah.
How could they lose? How could they lose?
And you know, even I talked to the representative of the ICC yesterday, the Hungarian, you know, he came and talked to me very often at the office, and I mentioned, who is this guy? He said, oh, he's the deputy representative of the Hungarian ICC. He said, and you know, all kind of people, important. Why they come to talk to you? Very good source. So I can give it for Time magazine. And he told me it's impossible for North Vietnam to take South Vietnam. I live in North Vietnam too. I know South Vietnam is so strong, too strong. Impossible for North Vietnam to take it after signing the agreement. See?
Yes, I do. Yes, yeah.
And I told him, oh, you have to be careful. You will wait there. The South Vietnamese will lose because of the morale. I said, unless that thing happens. But I will see. I doubt that the North Vietnamese would have a chance to take over the South. And when the attack happened in Bangladesh, he came to see me almost every day. I said, no, I'm very busy because Time Magazine requires a lot of cable every day.
That was the last thing I wanted to ask you. You reminded me. Just I have one more question, I know, because it's almost 12 o'clock, too, so I don't want you to... But I wanted to ask you one more question. But my question is, and then Friday dinner, the other people who are going to be there is Pham Kim Ngoc, TM, Lam, and then Major Tran Van An, and then Pham Suan An, born in, you know, here's your bio. And also Mr. Nguyen Phu Han is going to be there. And also Nguyen Ngoc Lynch. But do you remember what this could be, or what it was for, or anything like that? Do you remember what this was for?
What it was sauce for Time Magazine.
Right, but do you know who to lunch? Time just organized the lunch. Is that
always,
it?
Oh, yeah, all right.
Okay, so.
So I mentioned important people for them to invite me.
Well, let me show you. This is just this is the Bob Chaplin.
Has a tea.
Yeah, no, I'll have a little more tea.
It's a good one. It's a guy tea.
It's very good tea. You want some more here?
Yeah, very good tea.
Thank you. These are all the notes that Bob Chaplin took.
You think all the
conversations, right? And then I read it, typed it, and then retyped it. So Vong tells Chaplin, this is when the communists are about to enter into Saigon, and Vong says he'll tell the, and Chaplin's very worried about you and Vong, very worried. And so Chaplin writes that Vong, he'll tell them he worked for the Americans and he wants to teach English in the Communist Party school. Very naive. He says, quote, "No longer any justification for our lives," Vong says. "The fact we are still alive doesn't mean anything." That's what Vong says. You provide him with details of the communist offensive. Quote, "They are moving some troops out, not only in infiltration, group members, fillers, but not whole division strength. Two will continue to blame everyone except himself and will bring house down with him. Après moi, la deluge complex." Close the quote. Now, when I quote, I'm going to use this in my book, but you don't have any problems with me using this, right? This is, you didn't tell me this. This is from.
You just mentioned, don't mention the source. Don't mention my name.
Well, no, the source is Chaplin.
Yeah, Chaplin talked about that.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Well, this is not you. This is Chaplin.
Yeah,
this is all Chaplin. So,
I got the map. The communists come from. I get 2 times.
Right.
So when they go out, and then suddenly, some officer in Central Vietnam asked, "Mr. Beers, do what? Oh, Mr. Beers, good fact given me." So I have to give, Mr. Beers gave them away. I have to make a new copy because I always decided, I always send them every day, every week, the movement of the communists, you see, and then from both sides, on the Yaman side and the other side. So I work on the map, you know. You look at Time Magazine, the map of fighting every week.
Yes.
I did it.
I think you once told me that. I think I wrote that already in my book. I think you told me that once, yeah.
I gave you the coordinates and everything.
Right.
I went to the JGS, the operations center. I asked this officer, hey, the situation here.
Some of the things you told Bob Chaplin are very interesting. For example, Chaplin must have asked you, how do the VC recruit, you know, how do they do the recruiting?
Yeah.
And you said, well, they come with us for, they say to us, come with us for summer stuff. They did this in 1958 in groups of 2 or 3 and 4, but now it's as many as 100 and 200. Spend the summer with the VC, learn how the other half lives.
I don't get it.
Yeah, well, this is what he wrote. I'm not going to use it, but.
But I don't know. You talk a bit slower, because when I'm sick and then very difficult here.
He asks you, how do the VC recruit? And you say, they say, come with us for summer stuff.
Summer?
For summer stuff. In other words, how do they recruit young people? So
yeah.
They come over to your grandson and they say, come with us for the summer. They did this in 1958 in groups of 2 or 3 or 4, but now, 1970, it's as many as 100 or 200. Spend the summer with the VC. Learn how the other half lives. And that's how they recruit them.
Like
yeah.
When you go to the summertime camp, etc.
Yes.
They organize and they give them the cost. That's the proselytization.
Right.
Because I was the one out of the proselytizer in Saigon.
Now this I'm going to use. This is very good. You tell Chaplin that when the U.S. leaves, it's going to leave, quote, a dry corpse, meaning South Vietnam.
That's a dry?
Corpse, a dead body. For South Vietnam, which people here will agree with. That's not controversial. Very, I think this is a very important question I wanted to ask you. My last question for this trip. Chaplin asks An to tell him how the police avoid being double-crossed by double agents. And I write, your answer shows how much you know and explains why you lasted so long. So this is what you tell Bob Chaplin. He wants to know, how do the cops, how do the police avoid being crossed up by double agents? And you say, there are parallel special police is G2 network, run by chief of special police and substations. Each of the five runs this. He has some special police in every interblock, out of uniform. Special police in each interblock recruits PSDF. This is Chaplin's abbreviation.
Yeah.
How avoid double agents? At comm level, when recruited, each informant is carefully checked out, and this report goes to special police at the precinct level, which runs its own G2 check. If information is good, he will be transferred to special G2 network and comes under special police section. Under the one cell system, each agent has limited knowledge of whole organization and is kept to this limit. Complete files of each informant, fingerprints, past history of family, friends, previous conviction, and his information in writing will be cross-checked with other sources. Close watch on his VC contacts. They will use double agents themselves. If his loyalty is too pro-VC, then he's arrested, or he will lead others to be arrested.
That's right, exactly.
See?
You know who thought that right?
No.
Colby. It was that they called it Phoenix Program.
Okay. That was the Phoenix Program, yeah.
Yeah. You know who invented this? How you can call it counterintelligence.
Yes.
Organization. But you know who invented the Phoenix Program?
Who?
Tung of Tao.
That's right, it's part of a destabilization, yes.
Yeah, because at that time there was conflict between the security and then the intelligence. Like America, the FBI and then the CIA. So and then he worked out a plan. They call it FOIOP. That means cooperation.
Okay.
Between the two organizations to under one control. One man. So there will be no conflict. Like now you have in the US Mr. Negroponte to control all of that. In order, no conflict is that. FOIOP. P-S-O-I. S-A-P.
Yes.
S-O-P.
Right.
FOIOP, I mean coordination. And then you translate that into Phung Wang. Phung Wang. You change the word FOIOP, you abbreviation, S, you know, P-S. And then Phung Wang, that means the Phoenix in Vietnamese. So that's why it translated to Phoenix Program for Kobe.
Right. Okay. And I have quite a bit of material.
Oh, they captured about 20,000 of them killed. Many of them innocent, but the majority of them not innocent at all. That is very dangerous program. Even Benjamin, no one dared to stay there.
Right.
Only one. You know, survive. He went to Bunuk Hua district to survive.
Here, Bob Chaplin asks you for the history of the front. He says to you, An, tell me about the front. Give me the history of the front. And this is what you say.
Yeah.
Front formed in 1956 when they found out there wasn't going to be an election. Front replaced Lien Viet. Lien Viet.
That's right.
Second PP or FF Congress was in 1961 when NLF formed to lay unity base for fight in South Vietnam. December 1971 was only the third Congress. Stress on need for unity to carry the fight on. Until 1970 it was only in South Vietnam, but now it is all Indochina. See? Very good. Vung now talks about the buzz, or what people are saying at Yuval, and it's about T-H-I.
Yeah, T.
And this is what An says, quote, An says, we always look for the most difficult solution. We learned this from the French. Two was out to make Americans look bad, and we silly on T. We are being silly on T. Lansdale and Rose. Kissinger fell into trap, or K fell into a trap, it must be Kissinger, for two to bring troublemaker and polarization type back here makes no sense, but what he did, we fall into a trap. T now has lost his charisma with B. I don't know who B is.
People?
With B, the letter B, B's. T has lost his charisma with B.
B-I.
Yeah. Who is Tree? T-R-I. T-R-I.
He is a
T-H-I.
T-H-I. Yeah. He's a...
The general.
General,
yeah.
He, when I made the paper for him to go to the US, he was only acting captain of the airborne. Commander, acting of the airborne. Oh, he liked me very much. He come to see my wife and advise her to take the children back if I could not come. Actually, the American exiled him because he brought back with him the communists who live in Cambodia with him.
Right. Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah. There's my, when I come in September, I'll give you all these notes so you could have them. But it's very interesting for me to read all of this. Here, Bob Shapland asks you, what's the purpose of the offensive in 1972? And you say, the purpose of this offensive was military, to provide the lever for steps 2 and 3, the political and persuasive aspects, to prepare for next dry season, step by step, even looking ahead to 1975.
Yeah.
Good analysis. This is in the book. Chaplin says to you, why are you staying? What are you going to do when the communists get here? What are you going to do, what are you going to do? And you say, and you're lying to him here, because, well, no, you're telling him the truth, but also he doesn't know about you yet. So it's a good, what you say is very good. I'll look them square in the eye and say, all right, what do you want to do with me? I'm a southern landowner's son. That's what?
Sorry.
Yeah.
Now, not only that, my father was the president of a high functionaire.
Right. Here you tell, that's right, I'll pack up anyway. In June of 1972, you tell Chaplin, you give him a 3-page analysis from captured documents, okay?
Yeah.
So, and he writes, Chaplin writes that on, quote, he says they did expect everything, meaning the communists, including the nukes and North Vietnam invasion, but they're still preparing for a long-term battlefield. This year, one day of fighting equals maybe 10 years worth. They do know VC was weaker, and they had to calculate this in the balance of force aims they sought to achieve. That was reason for the attack now. On's point, why wait? If ready to move, Nixon is tough and won't negotiate.
That's right.
Yeah. See, so my book, I guess I show you this, so...
I show you the communist analysis, too.
Yes, I have that. Yes, exactly.
And you can find it at Mr. Regner, you know...
Yeah, the captured document series.
Yeah.
Bob's son, Peter, wrote a letter saying, where's Vong? Where's Philippe Francini? Where's Vin and his family? Did they get out? Did Francini stay behind in his hotel? Did An get out with time, or did he stay, and does he now own time? What about An's family? Where are they? Where is Kai's Beach? Where is Dennis Warner? Where is Dan Sutherland? Dad, let me know. In other words, he wants to know. This is right April 30th.
He liked me very much. Like Kai Beach, even before he died, he told his young daughter, when she grow up, to come say go look for me. One day, you know, Anna Beach called me, said, I'm the daughter of Mr. Kai Beach. He said, look, I remember when you come here first, carried by your mother, a Japanese. And Kai Bishop married a Japanese after left the South Vietnam. A sign, and then, so, and then, how do you know me? I said, my father before he died. He loved you very much, liked me very much. I said, yeah, that's true.
This is the last thing I want to show you, and I'm going to go because I have to go get ready and go see Toucan. And I promised you only 1 hour. 1982, Bob Shoplin writes a letter to Edward Lansdale, 1982, saying, have you read Stanley Karnow's article about Ahn being a spy? And Lansdale refuses to believe it and writes back, June 8th, 1982. June 8th, 1982. Lansdale says in a letter, that I have the letter, I do not know the Karnow talk about Ahn and Tao, meaning he won't,
Ahn and
Tao, from that Tao.
Yeah.
But I would take anything Stanley Karnow says about the Vietnamese with a grain of salt. He doesn't know anything. I trust you to know better. I doubt very much Ahn or Tao were working for the other side. Lansdale, 1982.
Because I work with a small fry. Only a sergeant, equivalent is a kind of, you call it in English, is the officer, but a civilian captain, they call it.
Right. You were a small fish in the net. Yeah.
Yeah. Warrant officer.
A warrant officer.
Yeah. Equivalent to the master sergeant. But the Vietnamese don't have that kind of warrant officers, so they give me the rank of master sergeant. That's all, because the rest of the Saturday I go to the custom house to take the rest. And then, suddenly I forgot,
Lansdale.
Yeah, Lansdale.
Refused to believe that you were, could not believe that you were a spy.
He believed in Vogue, because Vogue, officially, they directed by the French, and then my cousin, I'm a chief of G5, to represent him in case to go to Lansdale, etc. And then Rufo Philip was invited by Lansdale to go to G5 to see Jai. If Jai not there, see Vuong, because Vuong speaks English very well. In case Vuong is not there, the second man, but not very important, is Ahn. And then you relay the order, etc. Like a Roderick, etc. Come and then said, I want this, that. So I was so stupid. I gave all the list of the name of those who work for G5. When I returned from the operation, he said, anyone from Lansdale people come? I said, yes, Captain Roderick come. He's very...
Roderick, yeah.
Yeah. And then he's a hero of the Korean War, too. He captain. He's one rank higher than Rufo Philip. And I said that, so I said, I gave to them. He said, oh, you are so stupid. You don't know anything about intelligence. Why you gave them the name? I said, I'm sorry, I don't know anything about that. Yeah. I don't know, I'm not there. So that's why he liked me very much.
And he?
But he know Vuong because he worked for the French, too.
Right.
And then Vuong worked for Mr. Alexis Christopher.
And Lansdale, though, he helped sponsor, he helped all your paperwork to go to California. That is,
that's right.
He made it all possible. Yeah.
He
confirmed everything about you. You were a good guy and everything, and sent him over. Yeah. Yeah.
First, he intended to send me to the NCO School of Intelligence and Psychological Warfare at Fort Slocum.
At where?
Fort Slocum.
Fort Slocum,
In New York.
Yes.
But when I came out, I become NCO, non-commissioned. But he said, in that case, after that, you go to attend a regular course to become an officer. And then we will help you to promote very fast. But the communist side said, no, very dangerous.
Right.
Because you are mixing this kind of thing. You will be...
You're better off going to become a journalist,
To be, make me a political scientist.
Right, okay.
Or economist, with a high rank, like a PhD, etc. So I won't be worried about it, but you can learn a lot of it.
But in this book by Hai Van, it says that they wanted you to become a journalist because Ho Chi Minh had said...
is the last chance.
Okay, the last chance, okay.
You cannot go. So the only way to go is to be a journalist.
Okay.
The only one chance. Even with your own money, so, you know, Wen Wang Dem is very tough. He professionally refused to go speak Vietnamese too. And he hates those who work for the Americans. So even they, you know, the American gave me the English test, he didn't believe them. He gave me another test. He was the boss of my father too, as you can tell. And then, when I went, and then the only chance. So I said that the only way is to be a journalist. And they said, oh, that's very important, but very dangerous. Any journalist had the smell of the spy. If you know how to cover yourself, you survive. If not, you will finish as soon as possible.
Okay.
And he gave the example of Ho Chi Minh. He was a journalist, but he knew how to cover himself. Even so, he was captured too many times.
Okay.
But that's why when the war's over, they become suspicious of me again.
Right.
The only one who lasted so long. That's the very dangerous. Because some people said that this time he should die. Because they let Dr. Tien go, I do not report anything about the CIA, etc. Much. How can I do it? But to defend me, they said, all right, he should do it. He shouldn't do it. For he is concerned with both on job.
I think you'll in my book, I think you will like the way I explained the story about Dr. Tien. I do a good job explaining it, and I...
Dr. Tien, asked me why he recruited Tao and I. He said Tao has a good friend of Cardinal Spellman's father. His father know Cardinal Spellman.
Right.
His father know Morning Talk very well. They were Catholic, and they know French government better than anyone.
Right.
Because they were French citizens. Dr. Tien said that I'm Vietnamese, I know about Vietnam politics, but not French. And he's good. The man who saved me from prison is what you were talking about. He was put in prison by the big men, etc. And then when Ken came to power, the same group over Tao, so he was released.
Right.
Second man on, he's so nice. He's very polite. He knows the American better than anyone. So I rely on him. And then even the last minute you see it, he saved my life. So why don't I trust him? He's so nice. He never lied. He never, revealed anything I thought to him. That's why he worried that if I work for the communists, I know all his plans. So I sent a letter to him through Henry Kam, actually. But don't mention that.
Henry Kam, yeah.
That Dr. Dương Văn Hòa talked to Tien, and Tien asked her to give me help if possible, and then tell me that he always missed me. He liked me very much, but he did not write. And then he told Henry Kam, Dr. Dương Văn Hòa, about that message. And then Henry Kam come here. If you want to write something for him, I will go to Paris and give it to Dr. Tien. I said that I have to do my own job to let you go. If not, I don't want to see your children to be orphaned so soon, and then your wife widow so early. So, and then I wrote a letter to his wife had at that time cancer of the throat. So I said that your husband, Tien, love you so much. I know for sure. And my conscience, I should help him because I look at your children like my own.
Right. You told me that. And is Henry Kam still alive? Henry Kam, is he still alive?
I think
alive?
So.
Yeah.
He's not happy with the Vietnamese wife. First, they were thank to that one who translated. We got a Pulitzer Prize about a boat people.
Yes.
But he bought a very big house in Kanisaga. He owned. He was 2 years older than I. But his wife is young, about 50, very traditional. So, but she refused to live in the countryside. She wanted to live in the city. She lived in Switzerland before. But that's the problem when you have a young wife or you have a young husband.
Yeah. Okay.